Hi, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Sharon Goldsmith, Executive Director of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. And Sharon's here today to talk to us about how the Pro Bono Resource Center is coping with COVID and also providing a lot of really, really, really needed assistance, legal assistance to folks. So this is a show you should definitely listen to for some legal tips. So Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming. I know you're busy and I know things are technically not working wonderfully, but, you know, we're here and I'm glad you are. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us about the Pro Bono Resource Center?
Absolutely. And thank you, Bill, for the opportunity. The Pro Bono Resource Center was started 30 years ago, so we're just celebrating our 30th anniversary, to really help ensure that people across the state have equal access to lawyers and the legal system. Less than 80% had access to a lawyer at that time, and I have to say today, unfortunately, given the current environment, that figure is probably rising and will continue to rise because of so much of the fallout of the pandemic and lots of the other strife that's going on across the state and the country. But we were really set up by the Maryland State Bar Association to engage lawyers in providing free legal services to people in need, to individual clients and families, as well as communities that are struggling. And we have been very successful, I'm pleased to say, in doing so. We have training thousands of lawyers over the years and enable them to go into their communities and to work with people who really wouldn't have access to legal services but for their help. So it's been tremendously successful, effective, and rewarding.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. How can someone get in touch with you folks?
So anyone who is interested in volunteering as a lawyer or a paralegal or interpreter can contact our office, and I would suggest that they call 443-703-3045. We're providing services through volunteer attorneys, as I said, but also we're engaging interpreters, notaries, paralegals, law students, other people who have some legal background or want to provide some services. If people need legal assistance, then I strongly recommend that they contact their local legal services organization so that they can get some direct service.
Okay, and that would be, say, on the Legal Aid of Baltimore?
Exactly. So Legal Aid Bureau actually has offices across the state in Maryland. So you can contact the Legal Aid Bureau in your county, and you will be able to find some type of legal services, assuming that you qualify.
That's great. Those are good folks. Those are good folks, and they work hard for folks. And as you said, it's free.
It's free. And I just think, Bill, just if I could add, I think many people have a misconception that if you are in need, you can just get a lawyer. And there's actually no right to counsel in most civil cases. So I think that's something that is often lost in translation, or that people just aren't aware. So what we're providing are services that people would not be able to get and are not necessarily guaranteed. So, of course, we have former people needing help than we typically have resources, but we obviously do the best we can.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Unfortunately, we have a wonderful legal system if you can afford a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can't, then the legal aid bureaus of the world have to step up. And unfortunately, their funding is tight too. So they always need help. That's for certain.
That's true. And there are lots of legal services nonprofits across the state. Some are relying almost exclusively on volunteer attorneys. Others rely on paid attorneys, such as the Legal Aid Bureau, which is a staff program. And we also have hybrid programs. We have programs that work on legislative issues, advocacy, also provide direct representation in the communities and for clients in need. And they may use staff attorneys and volunteers. Just, you know, we try to leverage as many resources as possible. But we have an excellent, very robust legal services delivery system where we focus on people who are victims of domestic violence or people who are homeless or afraid of becoming homeless, people who have special needs and disabilities. So there's a wide gamut of programs out there and available for people.
Let's talk about how the center has adjusted to COVID and how our legal system has adjusted to COVID. I know that you folks are working remotely, but how's that happening with your services?
We are working remotely for the most part, and I have to say, as a community of legal services programs, we've done, I think, a tremendous job pivoting very quickly. I know specifically at the Pro Bono Resource Center, within, I'd say, a week or two, we had everyone home with laptops, with the phones transferred, and we were already helping clients directly by phone since we could not be in the courthouses or in the community at legal clinics where we typically would serve clients. Uh-huh. So literally within a matter of a week or two, we were talking to clients on the phone, giving them legal advice and steering them in the right direction. So we were able to do that for our tax sale work, for our estate planning, helping people with advanced medical directives and with financial powers of attorney. With our immigration cases, we were able to do that and triage. So I am just very proud of our team that we were really creative and worked really diligently to try to make sure that we could still reach clients and serve clients as best as we could.
Yeah, it sounds like you folks hit the ground running. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let's talk about those specific programs and services that you mentioned. I guess we could start anywhere. How about immigrant legal assistance?
Sure. So our Mellon Immigrant Legal Assistance Project is in non-COVID times. We are really the front line and often the only legal services program in the immigration court. So we see dozens and dozens of people each week. We staff the court twice a week with staff attorneys and volunteers and paralegals. And we basically serve as a triage. So we'll talk to everybody who comes and make an announcement saying if they want free legal help, they should come see us. And then we talk to people one-on-one, find out what their situation is, and then we steer them in the right direction in terms of, you know, if they have a particular cause for release, some sort of status they can get to allow them to stay in Maryland, then we are able to try to connect them with another legal services program that might be actually taking a case and representing them. So it's a tremendous service because often we're also the only one that's speaking Spanish in the courthouse and provide a lot of brief advice and counsel and direction to people.
Yeah.
And we're able to do that now in COVID. We've been able to do that using technology, just using the phones. So people have been calling at designated times, and they're speaking to attorneys with interpreters and are able to still get that kind of service.
That's great. So I guess you get all of your referrals then from the court itself.
Yes, for most of them. I mean, I'd say 99% of the time because we're in court and no one else is. And so we really are the frontline triage for all the legal services programs. At this point, we're working with flyers and word of mouth and just trying to work with our partner agencies to let them know that the service is still up and running and they can also refer people to us.
Yeah, and the courts are still up and running.
They are. So it's been limited. Every jurisdiction, I mean, in federal court and immigration court, they've had certain hearings, but the master dockets where we would typically appear have not been being held. So that's why we're reaching out to people in different ways and getting referrals from other avenues, including the court. Once they open up again, then we'll have to figure out if we can, you know, how we can modify our services and come back to court because obviously there's a lot of concern about the safety of the clients, mm-hmm. of our staff, of our volunteers.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
In other courts, it's important for people to understand that the courts are open to some extent depending on what the cases are. So emergencies were being heard initially. And as of September 1st, at least particularly in Baltimore City, rent court is open. There'll be failure to pay rent cases and eviction filings will be heard. Rent escrow cases will be heard and our consumer cases will be heard in the affidavit judgment docket, which we typically staff those dockets or we're in court virtually every day helping tenants and consumers with some kind of defense if there's a legal defense. So, again, I think there's been some confusion and understandably some misunderstanding about the courts being open. But I would strongly recommend that if anyone receives a notice from the court, the summons, or any paperwork, they should open it, take it seriously, and know that the courts are open and will be continuing to open more and more. So this is not something to ignore, and strongly suggest you get legal assistance as quickly as possible.
Right, and call the Legal Aid Bureau in your jurisdiction. Let's talk about some of your other projects. I know I'm sure people have ears perked up when you said power of attorney.
Yes. So one of our initiatives over a number of years has been home preservation. And in that context, we've been trying to do what we can. In the home preservation context, we've been trying to do whatever we can to allow people to age in place and to preserve their homes and stabilize communities. So according to a recent ABLE Foundation report, since 2000, Baltimore has lost 15,000 homeowners, and the city's home ownership rate has dropped below 50%. The lowest since 1930, apparently, and as I'm sure you know, Black and low moderate income neighborhoods in Baltimore have lost the most, have lost more than 45,000 people, or 20% of their population. So we are trying hard to reverse that and allow people to stay in place in safe housing. And one of the ways, so multiple ways we do that. One is we were very involved in foreclosure prevention when, you know, that was such a problem.
Right.
And continue to do some of that. Most recently, we've been very effective in helping people avoid tax sales, which is also sort of a type of foreclosure, but in a different process, but losing their homes to a tax sale. And I'm really pleased to be able to report that we just finished providing remote services to homeowners in who were going through the tax sale process. And we've learned that from our prior work, 92% of those who came to a clinic and got some help avoided losing their homes to tax sale. So
that's a great impact, isn't it?
It is, because I just can't imagine anything more important than obviously keeping your family safe and keeping your home in terms of home ownership. So you had mentioned powers of attorney and advanced medical directives. In order to help particularly the seniors maintain their homes, we want them to know that, you know, they can pass their homes on to the next generation. And to preserve intergenerational wealth, we can help provide wills, powers of attorney, and advanced medical directives for people who, you know, may be in ill health or need those documents. And again, given the COVID environment, more and more people, unfortunately, obviously do need these services or need these documents to say, who takes care of me if something happens? What kind of healthcare decisions should I make now in a, you know, worst case scenario? And what happens to my home? Is the deed in place? Either, you know, what's happening to my property? Should I not be here anymore? And, you know, as unpleasant as it is to think about, it's really critical to think about and plan ahead.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And should they call you regarding a situation like that?
Yes, and we are hosting, again, still doing it by phone, but we have ongoing estate planning and life planning consultations we can do with anyone who qualifies and people in the city, and certainly seniors. We are happy to help anybody who is interested.
Okay, great. And could you give us that phone number one more time, please?
Sure. The number where I think people could call and get direct contact would be 443-703-3045.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Sharon Goldsmith, who's Executive Director of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland, for being our guest today. Thank you, Sharon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
We'll do so.
Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.